Friends in Christ, grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus, who has chosen us to belong to Him. We're going to read from the first reading today from Acts chapter 1. I'll start at the 15th verse. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was about 120 in all, and said, "Brothers, the scriptures had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man bought a field with a reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language, Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of the Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office.' So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection." And they put forward two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside and to go to his own place. And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles." This is God's word. Please be seated. Well, here's a little quiz for you today. I'll quiz the confirmands in the second service, and everyone else too, but a little quiz. What do Brian Bennett, Taylor Kelly, Gary Nova, Justin Worley, and Mike Myers all have in common? And it's not our Mike Myers, by the way. Does anybody know? Have an inkling? You pretty good with sports, news, and all that? Anybody? No, okay. They are all college quarterbacks who were available for the NFL draft this year, but who were not chosen by any team. They are the unchosen. You know, from little on, even when we were choosing up teams on the playground for a game of kickball, to be a part of the unchosen, you know, the last kids who were picked and who were included only because you had to include them, you know, that to be one of those unchosen was one of life's most embarrassing, painful events and left you feeling rejected and unwanted. And I wonder, in the first reading today that we just read, did Justus feel something like that when Matthias, and not he, was chosen to replace Judas as the 12th apostle? Matthias was chosen, Justus was not. Did he feel hurt? Left out, embarrassed. But somebody had to replace Justus. Somebody had to replace Judas, that is, after he had betrayed Jesus and then in his despair had taken his own life. The disciples, having seen Jesus ascend to heaven, knew that they were supposed to wait now in Jerusalem until they received the promised Holy Spirit, after which they would spread out and be witnesses to Christ and to His resurrection to the ends of the earth. And they also knew that they needed to be full strength to achieve their commission. They needed to be 12 strong. So the other Christians considered two men for the job, Justus and Matthias. Both of them had all the eyewitness qualifications. They had been with Jesus since his baptism. They had seen him risen and ascended. They both loved God. They were both very good men, but only one of them could be chosen for the position. And after praying to God which one would be, God had chosen to be the one, they cast the lot. Kind of like we would draw the straws, and Matthias was chosen. And now, to this day, Matthias is remembered as a saint and as an apostle. He even has his own special day on the church calendar. February 24th is St. Matthias Day. But Justus? Who remembers him? He's almost completely forgotten, except for a few Bible trivia buffs who remember him as the unchosen one. And after this account in Acts chapter 1, Justus just drops off of the pages of Scripture. We never hear from him again. After all, it is the chosen who we remember, not the unchosen. And you know, I sometimes think for Justus it must have been even worse. You know, it's one thing not to be chosen by your classmates for a game of kickball on the playground, but Justus was not chosen by Almighty God. Ouch. And you wonder, you know, how he felt about that. I mean, everyone wants to be chosen. Sinfully, selfishly, we want to be the favorite. We want to be the most popular. We want to be the one that gets promoted and be the teacher's pet. But of course, in the real world, not everybody can be at the top. There was one company that had 5 openings for management positions. 1,600 people applied for those 5 jobs. 5 were chosen. But that means there were 1,600 who were not chosen. Hey, that's just the reality of life. Justus has a lot of company in this world. But my guess is that Justus, as respected as he was among those early Christians, and as a true man of God, he was not a sore loser. You know, I sometimes think we ought to give Justus his own day on the calendar just for what I am convinced was the grace and the poise that he showed when it turned out that he was the unchosen one. My guess is that when Matthias was chosen, when that lot fell to Matthias, Justus, the unchosen one, probably gave him a big hug and a holy kiss and a blessing, and he prayed for success for Matthias as he spread the gospel of Christ. Because that's what they really wanted most of all. It didn't matter so much who, they just wanted Christ to be known. And how could Justus show that kind of sportsmanship? That kind of dignity? Because he knew that even if God had not chosen him to replace Judas as an apostle, God had chosen him from before the foundations of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight by the forgiveness of sins that Jesus had purchased on the cross. And to be chosen by God's grace is life's greatest distinction. It is our highest award. You know, time after time, the Scriptures remind us of our chosen status. Long ago, the prophet Isaiah wrote these inspired words. He said, "You are my servant. I have chosen you, and I have not cast you off. Fear not, for I am with you." And then Jesus himself tells us, and we heard it last week, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit." And St. Paul said to the Thessalonians, "But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth." And again, Paul said to the Ephesians, "He chose us in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. Do not ever for a single moment doubt the way God feels about you. But by the death of His own beloved Son on the cross, and yes, despite our sins, we are special. We are the apple of His eye. We are His chosen ones, loved and forgiven and saved by His grace. And by the work of the Holy Spirit calling us to faith, we have been picked for God's team, His church. And here He invites us, whether for the 1,000th time or for the first time for our confirmands, here He invites us to receive the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus given and shed for our forgiveness. And that is no consolation prize. That is the best that He has to give you, because He's giving you Himself. Because you are His chosen. And you see, here's the thing. We are chosen for this honor for no good reason. And what I mean by that, you know, in this world we are usually chosen in a system of merits and rewards. You know, perhaps our confirmands today will soon be trying out for a high school basketball team or a football team or a cheerleading squad. And after they have put forth their best for the tryouts, comes that day when the coach calls everyone into the office one by one to announce the decision. How dejecting to hear the coach say, "I'm sorry. You didn't make the cut. We could only choose so many for the team, and I wish we could take you on, but we can't." That's the way life works, right? You don't have the qualifications. You don't have the athletic abilities, the strength, the intelligence, the experience, the education. Then you join the ranks of the unchosen. And that system of merits is so ingrained in us, I think we start to think that's how God chooses His church. But on the other hand, if you've got what it takes, you go into the coach's office and you hear him say, "You made the team." Or you go to the boss and you says, "You get the job." What a great feeling that is to be chosen. But you were chosen because you earned it in some way. You were qualified for it. There was a good reason you were chosen. But the wonder of God is that He chose you for no good reason. Who of us here has earned the right to stand in the presence of a holy God? Not me. Just ask my wife. She'll tell you. I certainly haven't earned it. None of us have. We all sin. We all fall short of God's glory. And yet, God calls our name in our baptism. And He forgives you. And He says, "I choose you to be my child, to be a part of my family." Man, it feels great to be chosen based on your qualifications, but how much greater is it to be chosen despite your lack of qualifications? Because that's grace. That's love. You know, whenever Martin Luther felt down or depressed or down on himself, he would remind himself of his baptism, by which he had been made a child of God, and he would say to himself, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? You've been chosen." And whenever you feel like you're the unchosen, like you're unwanted, you're unloved, or you're unappreciated, stop looking to other people for your sense of value and worth. Look outside of yourself to the cross and to the baptism font and to the Lord's communion table and be reminded that your value in the eyes of God is not determined by how well qualified you are, how many teams you've been on, how many trophies you have up on the shelf, how many followers you have on Twitter. Listen, I don't imagine Justice having been unchosen, just sat around and sulked. No, he had in fact been chosen to belong to Christ through faith and to do Christ's bidding in this world. And you better believe that even though we don't have a day on the calendar for Justice like we do Matthias, I'll bet that Justice was active in Christian love and service to the one who loved and served him to the death. Your worth is given to you by God. And you share in the inheritance of the saints forever. And you are now to do His bidding in this world by loving God, loving each other, and sharing this great good news. You've been chosen for it. Never doubt it, not for a moment. We are God's chosen. We are His beloved, His forgiven children. And what could be better than that? Amen and amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.